Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Moses is a message, got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Share one mind through a vision of our future. Why
Mafia, Jim Hotep. Greetings. How is everyone doing this evening? Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have your Omi Inca 7 here, your advisor, the one you need, and your advocate, the one you want, and your emperor. I'm here at your disposal. Whatever you need, I am here to serve you. I hope your weekend was fine, and I'm looking forward to getting on top of the discussion, reparation. And we're halfway through the topic of reparation, and I have been preparing a battery of questions. I won't call it a test, but a quiz for you on one of my ING websites, and I'll be able to give you more information on how you can go to that site and how you can answer as many questions as you can, and then come back into the room to discuss it. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're halfway through reparations, and we're already at the point of discussing the Black Codes and where they came from and why they were created. That's what we'll be discussing this evening. Now, for those of you who came in the room earlier and who were a part of the study group and were posing questions, please, I invite you to come back in. I especially invite those who are comedic leaders and teachers to even come in to be a part of the discussion. I've also extended a request out to one of the gentlemen out there in reference to interviewing him about the woman being God. That's right, because we've covered the comedic teaching. We know that the woman is the female entity of God, and she is God. We know that in this room. So why would we think anything else? And why would somebody want to abuse a person, be abusive to a person who is only putting out the message that the woman is a God? And why would somebody be coming against another brother or sister who's speaking about the woman being God? Well, I've already invited that person into the room, and I will interrupt whatever we're doing to talk about that. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we just got to get clear on things, and we can't keep going backwards. And once we're clear about something, we got to go forward with it. That's right. The cat is out the hat, ladies and gentlemen. For all of those who have not been in this room or who have not been on shows where they are talking about the female woman being God. Now, who would ever say to somebody, let us make man in our own image, if a female entity wasn't with God when he did the process of creating man? Now, I'm not going to get into that discussion because that's not a discussion for this show. We've already talked about comedic teaching. However, I did invite that young man into our class, and we will interrupt our daily sessions to even address it because I want people to understand that you cannot physically or verbally abuse people for telling the truth because, you know, God will tend to you, and he will chasten you for that. And there's been a lot of people out here trying to do good things. You can't hold people's past against them, because if you open up the closet, we all have a past, and you can't hold people's presence against them if they're ready to go forward and to do something positive. And you certainly cannot make the decision of what people will practice or preach. My personal thing is that if you have history and statistics to back you up on what you're saying, then let that person go and debate on their own. Don't waste their time debating. And that's what we don't waste time in here doing, debating. We're teaching. We're not getting caught on concepts and frozen viewpoints where people can come in and antagonize you and argue all day long. That is not what this is about. Time is up on us, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have very much time left to get some filthy lucre. All we're trying to do is get some wealth. And once we get wealth, we can do the things we want to do and help the people we need to help. We don't have time to argue against ourselves about who's right. All the documentary that's been put out there, we know it has to be examined, and there's a lot of untruths. But for one thing I do know, African Americans have to, for once in their life, put their emotions behind them and start dealing with conscious-minded information. And if you don't know the facts, go research them and stop arguing with other brothers and sisters about that ain't true, that ain't what I believe, I don't know nothing about that. You may not ever know nothing about that because you're not in a circle of people where information is being plentifully discussed. However, you shouldn't be wasting your time breaking your brother down or your sister down trying to show how much you don't know. There's a whole lot in this world that I don't know, and I'm certainly a whole lot that you don't know as well. But we've got to stop going in on those brothers who are trying to bring truth and comedic teaching to our table. And we got to be ready to allow him to serve it up, because there's very little that we know about metaphysics and comedic teaching. We're Nubian people. Why do we know so much about Europeans and Westerners?
Excuse me.
And we don't know anything about who we are. And then when somebody's ready to tell us something about comedic, we first tell them, I ain't no African. I ain't no comedic Nubian. You're all of that. And you need to be proud of it. And you need to stop pretending like you're transforming into a Westerner, into a European. You need to stop gravitating to trying to have bleached skin and straight hair. It's all right to be who you are. And if you're blacker than the dust, blacker than the night, God made you that way. Accept it. And accept who you are as a Nubian, comedic, African. Accept it. Now, we're not going to go into that anymore, but the message has been put out there in the atmosphere. Those people are certainly welcome here to discuss that at any time, any place, because we've got to change who we are. We are not an American, and we're showing that right now it is so hard to prove that you're American, you might need to go through a set of tests to prove that you're American. So the most important thing that we have to know is that we're African. Every morning we wake up to that mirror, our hair is still kinky and our skin is still black. We still bear the stamp on our face, and that's not going to change anytime soon. So we know, only question is to be or not to be African. And I choose to be African today. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, let's go on with it, okay? I'm not going to perturb you anymore with that discussion, because I've heard they've been beating up on a couple of brothers out there, and I don't like it, because we are our gods. Women are gods. Now, I'm saying it. You heard it from Omi. And you let them know that I put it out there. And I put it out there because I got enough information to substantiate what I'm saying. The female entity is God, like it or not. We have been carrying these churches, and we have been heading these churches up as hats. We've been knowing all along that we've got. We've let the man masquerade as if he was the chosen lesser vessel. And we knew in our loins that God didn't take us from no rib of no man. We knew that we were created right alongside God. Now, you heard it from Omi. You got any problem with that? Come in this room. We can discuss it. We're not here to debate, but we can discuss it. We can discuss, but we're not going to argue, and we're not going to get, we may get angry, but we won't sin. We're not going to call nobody out their name or wrestle nobody down like they're in a cat fight. But you can come in here intelligently and discuss it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so much for that. Always on the soapbox again. How was your weekend? I hope it was great. And we're going to get ready for those drummers, because, you know, I am the Empress and I am a goddess. So I'm going to call those brothers in here that play the drums so well so they can get me ready. Drummers, you need to come in here. The emperor is in the house. You need to come in here quickly, please. Mother, may I please have the drummers? I think they're on the way, ladies and gentlemen. They didn't want to hear my mouth, but they just came on in here. Aren't they so sweet? All those drummers are coming in here playing those drums, the jambe drum, the jujun drum, the talking drum. I am your emperor. Whatever you like, I am. Ladies and gentlemen, you're in the Curator Read Room. I want you to lock that dial in right now and keep it right there. Lock it in at 746-478-0270. Keep it right there, little G. Go ahead on and keep it right there. Keep it right there on that dial in the Care to Read room. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to the Care to Read room this evening, and you have your Omega 7 here to serve you. I am your Emperor, and I will be providing whatever you like this evening. I am your hostess for the show, and we are underwritten by Project 2019. Family and Consumer Science Room. We talk about holistic family life programs, literacy, all the way from literacy, filling in a gap, and making you literate and conscious of your heritage. We cover anything from wellness all the way to social events, where we are talking about social economics right now, reparation. That is the topic for this evening, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to get ready for the power of faith, because I know that's the only reason I exist. I couldn't do it by myself without the strength and power that comes from my higher self. And I'm going to invite that force in right now as we meditate and take deep breaths and bring in the power of faith.
Faith in a heart, and it seems alive. A fall.
Hello. Yes, we're back, and thank you so very much for coming into the Care to Read room. And let's get ready to take another station identification, and we're going to go right into the talking cure. And as I told you, I do nothing on my own strength, and my strength comes from the power of faith, and we depend on that power of faith to support us. And let's get ready to go into our meditation. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you have been meditating and you have been calling on your ancestors, but I want you to get up one more time for me and stand now that you're in holy ground. And before I do that, I'd like to get permission to speak for my elders, and then we're going to go right into the libation. If you have not already gotten your ancestors' names out, you might want to get those ancestors' names out. And Elder, do I have permission to speak?
Yes, by all means, you have permission to speak.
Thank you so very much. And we're going to go right into the libation. And Baba, is the libation ready?
Libation's all ready.
Baba is still coming off of sabbatical. We pour libations to the north, ladies and gentlemen. Ashe. We pour libations to the south. Ashe. We're pouring libations to the west. And we're pouring libations to the east. I say, and I wash my face so that I don't greet the Almighty with stale face in my hand. And as the water hits the ground, we trust that the water will fall upon fertile ground and take root and spring up in the hearts of men all over the world. Ashe. Now we need to call on our heroes and sheroes and our ancestors, ladies and gentlemen. I like to light a candle for my mother's side of the spirit. I say Ashe. I like to light a candle for my father's side of the family. Ashe. I like to pour a glass of water for my father's side of the family. I say Ashe. I like to pour a glass of water for my mother's side. Ashe. I say Ashe to Robert Jenkins. Ashe to Clara Jenkins. Ashe to Tommy P. Harvey. Ashe to Louise Lord. Ashe to Lucille Day. Ashe to Ludell James. Ashe to Isa Lilly. Ashe to Bessie Lilly. Ashe to Nisha Lilly. Ashe to Ruby Lilly. Ashe to Esley Pope. Ashe to Sam Lilly. Ashe to George Lilly. Ashe to Tommy. Ashe to Tom Harvey. Ashe to Michelle Harvey. Ashe to Michael Harvey. Ashe to Mary Lou Hawkins. I say Ashe, Ashe to my family members. And I call on those heroes and sheroes. I say, Nat Turner, you can come down now. We are now looking for better days. Help is on the way, I say, Nat Turner. I say, Harriet Tubman, you can lay down your pistol. We are about to get our reparation. We are speaking it forward in the spirit, Harriet. We finally got to over the greenhouse. And because of your hard work, we want to send you out front and lift your name up. And we say, Harriet Tubman, as you stand up and go before the people, raise your hands up like Moses. And we call on Madam C.J. Walker to walk that walk and talk that talk in the way that she does about doing hair. And we call on Nina Simone and tell her the song Mississippi, if that was banned, can be sung again. And then we can sing that song, You Know How I Feel Again. Come on out front and sing your song, Nina Simone. We call on all the ancestors today. We call on Dr. Carruthers, and we ask Dr. Henry Clark to be present. And we call on Brother Henry Clark, and we ask for all of them to step out front to assist and aid us. Ladies and gentlemen, you are standing on holy ground, and whatever you need now is in the atmosphere, taking deep breaths and accepting your reparation. accepting all of the funds that was due you, the land and the 40 acres and a mule and your $100. It's in the atmosphere and it's yours for the asking for. Get ready as we go in to the sanctuary. Prepare to go into the sanctuary and to take your seat and be seated. Whatever you want, your ancestors are here to guide you. Let's go into the sanctuary two by two and let's be seated. Gentlemen, once again, thank you for being a part of the Talking Cure, and you are now ready to get started on the session for reparation. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking profusely in this classroom, and we decided that we were going to talk and answer questions. So I put up some questions that we're going to go over with before we end this class. Excuse me. Okay, I put up some questions so we can have some discussion. And for those of you out there in the listening audience, we'd like to invite you in. Thank you. We'd like to invite you in to be a part of this segment to talk about reparation. What are the black codes and how did they come about? And who were they intended to hold? As you know, the slaves were up and down the highway and trying to find their freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, every morning they woke up with their mind stayed on freedom, going up and down the road, plotting and scheming how they would take their path and their chance. And if they decided to take their path and their plan, they knew everything had to be planned out just right. Because if they were caught by the police on the side of the road, there was a lot of various different laws that could be held against them. And one was called the Black Code. The Black Code, ladies and gentlemen, went into effect around 1865 when the slave was supposedly freed. And they imposed these laws to hold these slaves in captivity further after the Emancipation Proclamation was supposedly implemented and gave them their freedom they thought. However, those slave owners were told that if they came back to the Union, they could hold on to their slaves. So you had a lot of confusion. You had slaves that didn't know they were free. You had slaves that functioned as if they were still slaves. And then you had those that had papers that said, I'm free. And when they went into certain places, and if they were caught on the side of the road during the first of the month, without employment, they could be pulled over and ticketed and cited for a crime. Now, remember the Emancipation Proclamation said that you could put slaves back into slavery if they were convicted indubitably of a crime. So you bet that these Africans were being convicted all of the time in the effort to put them back into slavery, to get them tied into a system that could lease them out and utilize their labor hand for free. So these codes came in handy. And you better believe not only did they come in handy, ladies and gentlemen, they came in handy for those people who were trying to make a profit. That's right, trying to make a profit, ladies and gentlemen. They came in handy. Now, the thing that we want to look at is this, ladies and gentlemen. If the slaves were still working and things were happening where they were getting picked up and they were constantly being convicted of all manners of crimes, then whose feet could they fall at? Whose feet were they at the mercy of? It wasn't a jury of their own peer, ladies and gentlemen. They were having some difficult times. These young people that were on the roadside trying to find their freedom, they didn't have access to legal aid. So they took their chances, ladies and gentlemen, and they took their chances, and some of them were caught and convicted. And lo and behold, they were facing these black codes. Now, lawyers knew all about these black codes. However, the African didn't know. Remember, the African wasn't a learned person. He was just getting out of slavery. He didn't know anything about how to decipher the law and what his rights was. He didn't even know that during the time that Lincoln did decide to free the slaves, he waited from January all the way to May before he really accepted his freedom. Now, we have a group of people who are unlearned, untrained, and not knowing their rights and constantly being indubitably convicted of a crime. What do you think happens in a case like that, ladies and gentlemen? You have an excessive amount of ignorance going on and a large amount of ignorant people being placed back into the penitentiary because of a lack of understanding of the law. The same thing is going on now, ladies and gentlemen. You have a large portion of people who are in the workforce with high school diplomas, still with a lack of knowledge of understanding their constitutional rights. And therefore, if they don't have funds to pay for an attorney, most of those people end up at the mercy of the courts all over again. And ladies and gentlemen, we've had so much of that. It is rightly pitiful. It has become an opportunity to gain funds from poor, ignorant people. And that's not right. It's really not right. And you have a large group of young people coming out of school who are so slap happy about being free and fancy foot. And sometimes they don't know the laws. And because of their ignorance, they are entrapped in the laws. And ladies and gentlemen, we have got to get to the point where we always try to get our young people trained in the laws. And if we don't, we're going to have a large portion of them placed away forever in institutions. Now, let me go back a minute. When you go back and look at the laws, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that your children should understand what inactivates the law. And they need to learn as much as they can in the African churches. Now, churches, I'm calling on you. Some kind of way you can offer a class where you get all the legal people to come in and teach about the local laws. Because a lot of young people are always telling you about what somebody said, and they don't know the law for themselves. Now, preacher man, I know you could do it because you've got a large amount of lawyers, legal defense lawyers, in your ministries and in your congregation. And I know that you could always invite them out for a Saturday pro bono class. And it would really benefit your people a lot. if they had an opportunity to go to these classes. Now, I'm asking you, why wouldn't you do that to take some of the why wouldn't you do that to take some of your funds and pay them a small stipend or something? Why wouldn't you do that? You know, they need to have that opportunity. Now, once again, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that the biggest problem that we're experiencing in our community is still a lack of information. You still have a large portion of us that are not literate, and we are not reading. So we don't even pick up a journal, or we don't go into any legal aspect to know legal for ourselves. Now, why can't this be, instead of teaching all those books of the Bible in the church, which does us no good, why can't we have a session where it's mandatory to know street law, where it's mandatory for us to pick up on laws and understand laws so we can fight justice properly? That would really, our ties would be really well served and utilized if we did these things. Now, it's very important that we do it quickly. And I don't mean telling somebody that you can plea bargain. They go with lawyers they've never seen before, and sometimes the lawyers have so many cases, they don't even know who they're representing. Now, if you could bring your lawyers into the church, get them acquainted with the congregation, and talk about pro bono, have everyone put up a donation every month, and just like your housing fund, and pay them, then you could get proper representation. Now, I don't know why it's so easy for a minister to walk in and get all this proper representation. He pays for buku lawyers to represent him in anything he's doing, but a church member goes up the river because they can't get $2 together and rub them together and pay a lawyer. Now, we've got a problem. We're not going to fix these laws in the courtroom or the penal institution anytime soon, so we've got to have proper representation. And then when we asked about sovereignty, someone said, well, there's no sovereignty. But there has to be a way of escape to help the lawyers recreate these laws so if the black laws are still plaguing our system, we can reevaluate what is going wrong in our penal institution and our courtroom. But we certainly are not getting justice when you see the bulk of us locked up in the prisons. Now, we just heard that the Scott sisters got their freedom. And I want to stop one moment and give praise and thanks to God for the Scott sisters getting released. I know people say they probably got what they deserve. They put their 15 years in, but they certainly didn't deserve life. They really didn't. So let's stop and give a moment of silence and thanking God for what he has done, because we know it was only through God's hand that that verdict was lifted. We want to thank God that he intervened on behalf of the cry of that family and all the people who advocated for those Clark sisters and for the Scott sisters, for all of those people that stood firmly and believed and kept crying out. It's important that the cry in the wilderness continues because there's a fight going on, ladies and gentlemen. Someone has to have someone to lock up. And if they cannot find anyone in their race of people guilty, and if they have to have people to do slavery work, that is one of the reasons that they will push the issue of locking people up so that they can use them like slaves. However, we've got to get a lot wiser than what we have been in the past. The crimes that we are committing, the petty crimes, we've got to stop it. Even with the Scott sisters, you know, heaven forbid that they hadn't served 15 years. But a lot of this nonsense we've got to stop doing so we won't end up in the penal institution. But for those of us who have cases that are legitimate and they need to be tried, we've got to give people a fair chance to a trial. And ladies and gentlemen, it has been so sad. If you're out there listening, audience, and you want to call in to talk about this, please do. You've got so many institutions being set up in the urban setting, brand new businesses, one would add, and it opens up the opportunities for jobs for the Caucasians. And this is not fair. It's not fair to open prisons to put us in and to create the special education departments and these children that are carted off into these programs in special ed are usually carted off into the penal institution. It's a direct route, and it's not fair to calculate numbers based on how many kids in special ed. So somewhere along the line, people have got to be pointing these things out, because a voice that is not heard, people assume that everything is okay, but it's not okay. Laws are not meant to hurt other people and incarcerate people. The very laws that you create are created to protect people from themselves and others, and to also create laws so that people are not violating somebody else. But we've got situations where black young men are being locked up more frequently than ever before. And it has to stop, ladies and gentlemen. These black laws and black codes were created for slavery. If slavery has been discontinued, those laws need to come off the book, and they need to be revamped. Now, I don't know what Obama's doing with his committee members and what work they're going to be planning to do with the laws, but there need to be some organization formed to look over these laws with Obama. There needs to be a lot of examining going on, and I know Obama needs help. And that's why right here in Indiana, I do as much as I can to help and support them in anything they're doing politically. Now, I'm going to keep my hands in those things politically, because I want to keep my ear to the grind to find out what is going on with the service that is supposed to be extended to the African-American families and community. Right now, a lot of us are afraid to ask for something because we know Obama's got his hands full. But we really need to be asking for reparation. And he really needs to have that on the records, and he needs to be examining what is necessary in order to get that bill passed. Now, I'm going to invite you one more time to call in to the station and possibly call in with your comments or statements on reparation. What about it? What about those black codes, and did you know they existed? How do they affect African Americans? And what about the black laws? Were they created just for African-American people? Now, if you look on my blog, ladies and gentlemen, I had an empathetic Caucasian woman who had been studying the it was a Christian group she was studying and taking lessons with, and the Hebrews, I think it was, and she was so impressed about all the learning that she got from the Hebrews. But she was so heartbroken about all the things that she said that her people had done to African Americans, and how she personally extended her apologies and how sorry she was. It's right there on my webpage. Please go up and view it. I want you to hear what she has to say. I was so impressed with it, I uploaded it on my page. I want to thank that young lady for extending her care and offer of forgiveness as a Caucasian woman. I know there are many out there like her, and they want to say something, and they want to speak out about the behavior. And they can if they want to. At any time in this room, you're free to call in and extend your apology about reparation, about how you feel that your ancestors made a mistake, and you can apologize if you want. We'll accept it. Now, the Africans over in Africa have gone on the radio and the record for apologizing for taking part in the slave trade. They've gone so far to give land as a form of reparation. Reparation has already started, ladies and gentlemen, right over in Africa. And guess what? Your land is already laid up over in Ghana. You can go right to Ghana, and there's land already laid up for you. You can check it out, ladies and gentlemen. The governor over there set aside so many acres of land for those returning slaves who were falsely put into slavery. And if they had any hand in it, they apologized and they begged their pardons and asked that you forgive them. And there are many other chiefs doing the same thing. I employ the Caucasians, the ones who have authority, to stand up and apologize and ask for forgiveness and offer a form of reparation. Just as this lady offered her forgiveness and asked if she could be forgiven, that could be done. It's acceptable. However, you cannot acknowledge the fact that you had nothing to do with it and still reap the benefits. I'm going to say this much for those listening audience out there. This is Omi Inc., a seven in the room, and we're talking about reparation. How do we get help for reparation? How do we get people to acknowledge that there's more that we could be doing? Preachers, you could be doing more in a form of offering reparation of free pro bono legal aid in the churches. And if any of you should call me and need my help to help you get it set up, you can set up a phone line. You can set up a whole program to work with the elderly in filing their Social Security disability. You can aid them through pro bono services. At any time that you want to offer these programs, you can set up a five-fold ministry to help in that area. But you got to do something. You can't just keep telling our people that they don't deserve reparation, and you can't keep allowing them to go in the courtroom unprepared. It is a straight ticket to prison, and you've got to help them. And ministers, I'm talking to you and you and you, because I know we could do something better than what we're doing. We have to first pick up the mantle and then request that the Caucasians assist and aid us as well, because some of these courtrooms are ridiculous and horrible at the way that they're being ran, and it's obvious that impartiality and racism is being shown, and the race card is being played every time in the courtroom. All of that needs to be looked into. Now, Dr. Claude Anderson has put together several books, The Dirty Little Lies, and The Dirty Little Secrets, rather, and he's put together wealth books and economic books for African American. We could call into his line and Google Harvest Institute and see what we could do to work with him or help him, and see how we could bring them into the churches to speak and to bring statistics and documentation so the churches can wake up. You have your doors open every Sunday, churches, but you got to be preaching something somebody needs, not all this backwood gospel and praise and worshiping. It's got to do something for their pocketbook and help them economically. So preachers, I know you can do it, so gear up so you can help. In the meantime, I want most of us to inquire with our legislature, with our senators, about what is going on about the laws of reparation. Where are we at on the books? And has anything been done in the House of Legislature? And is Obama planning on signing any bills? We can inquire about these things. We are citizens and taxpayers, so we certainly could inquire about them. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that because of the time that's up on us, we're going to have to start doing something better in the way of getting ourselves ready to talk and have forums. And we're going to have to start not only having, you know, sit-ins where we're talking and having discussions, we're going to have other things that will open up the way for this new reparation. And as I told you, we're all going to be in Africa one day. And the next movement is for the United States of Africa. And we're going to have to plan and lay strategies now. Because, see, all those slaves that woke up every day crying that they were in slavery and they had their minds made up that today is the day I'm going to get my freedom. All of those slaves who went with Harriet one day made their mind up that they weren't going to be a slave no more. And they put all their energies together and they made it happen. All it takes, excuse me, for us is to wake up and make our mind up that this is going to come to pass. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're going to have to wake up with your mind on freedom. And I mean real freedom for all men and women all over this universe. Ladies and gentlemen, until we are all free, none of us are free. And there are many of us still incarcerated in prisons. And there are many of us locked away under 100 law sentencing and death sentences for false crimes. There are many of us, but we can pray that when the prison cells open, they will fall and fly out like dragons. God can open a way to make a correction. You are going to have to keep your mind stayed on freedom. You are going to have to keep waking up every day with the potential that you can be fully free. Can we do it here in the United States of America, you ask Omi? Can we do it here, or will we have to go abroad in order to gain our freedom? We need to look into it. We need to lay things out and structure things. And we need to see what would it take for us to fully be free. What would it take, ladies and gentlemen? How can you get up and put on your suit and be a million-dollar football player or basketball player and have all these things going for you, but in your back of your mind, you're still wondering if you're going to keep your freedom? But yet you're the billion-dollar man, and you're the man that they're waiting to play ball, but you still don't know if you got your freedom from day to day. How are you going to go in and play to the point of injuring your body and giving your body like a slave when you don't know if you're going to come out of there alive? And every day you are haunted with the question, how long will I keep my freedom? How long can I live in the same lifestyle? Well, until all of us are freed, quarterback, center, basketball player, until all African Americans are free, you're not free. You might feel like you're free because your money bag allows you to spend wherever you want to spend. But you still go to your inner city ghettos and see your brothers thrown in jail. You still look at the television set with the same news being reported and hear the same horrible stories. And when you see them on the screen, you internally see yourself. Why not take some of that filthy lucre you got and get involved with missions that are in the churches to make a difference, because you want to free up your brothers. And for those who have been incarcerated innocently, you want to free them. Until we are free as a people, none of us are free, ladies and gentlemen. We have to keep our minds stayed on freedom. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's wake up. Let's wake up and have our minds stayed on freedom, to put the black codes away and to bury them once and for all, so that we know that we've been given a free trial, and a trial that will be judged by the jury of their peers. We've got to look at the penal institution and figure out what needs to be done in order to give everyone and every man justice. Ladies and gentlemen, you can have that justice. And you can work with Obama and talk to Obama about what it is we're going to do. Don't let anyone fool you, ladies and gentlemen. Obama cannot do a whole lot for the African-American man right now. But if you lay it out there and tell Obama what the problems that ail the black community, then maybe Obama will be ready to sit down, at least send one of his representatives in to converse with you. But you have got to have a plan, and it's got to be laid out, because he doesn't have very much time. When you do finally reach him, you have to be able to run down your plan and lay it out, because we've got to get our freedom, and we've got to get these black codes and these black laws off the book. Are they damaging you, ask Omi? Do they damage, and who do they damage? Where did they come from? I told you once before, they were created to keep slaves into position of slavery. And they were created to fool and to placate the northerners and the southerners, to let them know that we have the power to change laws and to make laws. Just as those laws were made falsely, they can be taken off the books. And we're going to have to get wise enough to know how this penal institution works, to find out if they're plating our community and if they're hurting our community. If so, they need to be taken off the books. Now, those lawyers that are out there, some of them are retired. Some of them have excess time on their hand. They can volunteer pro bono. They can go to their nearby churches and give free time back to their community. And they can offer their services so every man and woman that is African American is represented in a court of law and a trial court, and they don't have to stand up with an adjudicator that's been assigned to them. What a conflict of interest. Every black lawyer that's a member of the bar can go and offer pro bono time. I know this. They can put hours on the book, and the ministers can go in and pick and choose those pro bono officers to come in and to give those hours to their church. And the new lawyers that's getting right out of law school, they have to get pro bono hours back. Then why aren't these ministers going to the law library and the law schools asking for these hours to be served in their churches so that a large portion of these women, like the Scott sisters, won't get sent up the river without proper representation? See, a lot of what trouble we get into is because we don't have proper representation. When we first go in the courtroom, we wait until it gets so bogged down that the case is so messed up, we don't know where it begins and where it ends. So it's very important at the beginning of these cases to have proper representation so that these lawyers can decipher whether to write a motion, an interrogatory, or a pleading. But they have to have proper documentation and files, and records have to be kept so that when you approve in a case, you have the proper witnesses to go in to cross-examine these various different witnesses and expert witnesses. African Americans don't know anything about gathering facts, how to gather the facts, and expert witnesses. All of these things, they can be trained to do the legwork. So you can send your missionaries out there to really do good, to go into those prisons and help those young people. And if you need me, call Orman, she'll help you. Because I know that this what is done. I did it for NAACP. I helped various different victims put their cases together and research them. And these churches can do better. You have the manpower. Gear those people up if you have to. Put them on a stipend and pay them. Send them back to paralegal school to help these lawyers. There's too many courtrooms maxed out with African-American people sitting in there, no representation. Representation without taxation is not appropriate anymore. How could you be a taxpayer and not have proper representation? And when they give you a pro bono lawyer, half the time he don't know anything about you or what the case is, and he just writes you off. And that can't keep happening. And I know I'm not saying anything wrong. What I'm saying is right, because half of these people are taking a plea bargain, and that will end them up with a felony. And that's something they don't want, preacher, deacon, evangelist. Y'all got to wake up. All that preaching about Peter, Paul, and John is fine, but now you need to preach about the brothers in the prison. Now you need to preach about opening up the doors when the doors flew open and they came out. This is the prayers that need to be prayed now, and the scriptures, all that other nonsense stuff is wasted time. Get the Holy Ghost at home. Come to church to do legal battle. Now, Malcolm X knew this, and you sure know Dr. King knew when you went to church, you went to church to do legal work. It was a place you went to work. It was cases that needed to be worked on. It was issues. So you came there. You had work to do. You weren't sitting up there waiting to be placed into a committee after you go through the new members meeting for 6 weeks, and then you go through the marriage council members for six more weeks. That's nonsense. Let them get their thing together in due time. But because we're in an urgency to help cases, set up your churches so you have the pro bono lawyer and the paralegals and the assistant helping to learn how to put cases together so we can help some of these people in prison.
Right.
Now, if you're going to start anywhere, start in these congregations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we hold these truths to be self-evident that we the people. Who are the people? Are they the people on the streets or are they the people in the congregation?
Congregation.
I'm holding the congregation responsible. We the congregation. Hold these truths to be self-evident that we have the right to a constitution. And if the constitution has been written for all men and women, we got to take that three-fifths off the ballot. It's still on the ballot. We are being counted as three-fifths. And we're being charged to pay all full taxes. How can a three-fifths man pay all full taxes when he's not even looked at as a full man or woman? Something is wrong, preacher. And I know you've been knowing something is wrong. Stop preaching all this good old biscuit backwater, get you water ministry and start talking about movement, radical movement in the church so that we can get the brothers in there. You don't have to tell them what to do. They will come with the buckets of water and they will come with the ammunition. They're ready to go to work. But you got to have a program first before you can draw these young men. If you don't got no program, they'll see you later. It's time now. It's time, preacher. It's time, teacher. It's time, evangelist. It's time, deacon. It's time. You say you want to do work for the Lord. Well, the Lord was no milquetoast brother. He wasn't no backwater, backdoor, geeky, biscuit-eating preacher. He was there ready to throw down. And he said if you don't have a sword, he said, sell your coat and buy a sword. It's throwdown time. So it's time for the ministers to tell those brothers and sisters, sell your coat. We're going to help some of them brothers and sisters get out of prison.
Yeah.
Now, the Scott sisters was an example for us to see that it's possible. We don't want to stop here. Now that the Scott sisters made it out of prison, and it wasn't by hook or crook. It was a whole bunch of people praying and intercessors and evangelists out there ministering on the front line and your ancestors. So if we open up the gateway for them to come through, guess what, church, congregation? We can open up for some of those innocent people to come through also. Now that the gateway is open, don't let it close. Now's the time to do the work. It's open. We got their ear. We got their attention. Now's the time to come in like a storm. And Jesus said he would lift up a standard and a storm would come in. Now is the time to lift up a standard and go in with the truth to show the house of Jacob their transgressors. And we can pull down and root up all of those black codes and those black laws so that they can never more plague our people and hold our people hostage in prisons for false crimes. Now, we're black African Americans, we say. That African American power. And the American part, we're going to have to be American. We're going to have to utilize our Constitution to make it work for us. And the only way you do that, preacher, hear me good. You go to these law schools and you ask that these young people be able to come to your congregation to do their pro bono internship. And you give them a reason to come back because you get cases from the court and you let your ministry that's going into the prison ministry bring the cases back so you can start the process of doing the research to help them. Now, I'm tired of going to these churches where they don't have a program. They got more people dancing up on the stage and pathetic dancing and boogie down dancers than they got prison ministry. You can't find a prison ministry because everybody boogieing down on stage. Now, let's get the prison ministries going. Because we got some brothers and sisters that have long been crying out, trying to come home.
Yes.
And it's up to the ministers Every one of them. It's up to you. You're taking tithes and offering. It is your time now to take that money and do something with it. Buy you some freedom if you have to. Buy some freedom for those people up in that church. They're coming to you with their children, begging you to help them to get proper legal representation, to get lawyers. You tell them that if you're tired, you can get help. If you ain't tired, you got to go somewhere. Now it's time for those people that are tired. You got to pay off, and you got to send them proper representation. And there's a way to bring legal people up there to help you and to train people so they can go into the courtroom and have a real ministry that's going to help those prisoners. And I don't care how many times they turn you away, keep going back, because you got people locked up that shouldn't be there. And I'm going to come down off of this cloud that I'm on right now in the spirit. But ministers, I'm appalled at how many churches we're building. We're doing nothing with these churches Monday through Friday when they can be used as institutions and school and training ground. We're doing nothing with them. Then we wait to Sunday and we spend one day a week there when they can be utilized as institution and training places for our legal pro bono preparation for all people to be trained in basic laws and to get them to take cases. Now, NAACP is just one organization. They can't do it all alone. But the churches are going to have to turn over to more conscious, radical places to get work done. Yeah. It's not just to come up in there and feel sanctimonious and feel good because you stand up in the church with Jesus, but it's better when you make a change, a radical change for the whole community. You can help Obama if you wanted to. You can help him now. Let him know that the churches want the money to feed into them so they can create these programs that will help these lawyers to go in and take these cases. Yes. We are overburdened. We are so overburdened that we know that there's time that we send some help. The prison system wants you to send some help. Now send some help in there to get these people out.
Yes.
One thing we have to do is be leaders. And if we don't have the ability to delegate, instrument, and orchestrate, then we are useless. We've got to have some leaders that can begin to send out the mission and get some work done. We have waited so long. Those Scott sisters waited so long to get out of prison. Don't let somebody else have to wait that long. We should have a system set up. We are so intelligent that nobody has a system set up. We wait till something like this happens, then we all fall apart, and then everybody's ready to march. Now, if we had a system set up, you wouldn't have to march. The system would prevail. Now, let us build a system that will prevail to help innocent people.
Amen.
Churches, you've got to get missionaries and women. You've got to push these preachers to either do their job or get out of the picture, because we cannot have all of these church dancing, testifying, singing, happy churches when things are not right at home and the communities are falling apart. And then people pretending like they're getting abundance and they're so rich and naming and claiming, but then you got everybody in their family locked up. You cannot be free until your children are free and your family members are free. So we've got to see that the more they lock up of us, I don't care how much money and filthy lucre you get in the bank and how royal you look and Gentile you look in your suit and you on TV and on stage. That means nothing when half our people are locked up, because that's you that you see locked up.
Amen.
An example of looking at him, you see yourself.
Yes.
So as we free them, we free ourselves.
Amen.
It's time, preacher. It's time, deacon.
Glorious.
It's time, apostle.
Yes.
It's time, evangelist. Oh, evangelist, I'm an evangelist, and I'm evangelizing all over the country, and I'm going here and there and to and fro, walking and laying hands and preaching, but you ain't saving nobody, because the people you need to save are in prison.
Yes. Amen.
If you really wanted to save somebody and help them to be free and saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, get the ones who need to be free. Now, I'm getting tired of the Jehovah's Witness coming to save and free all these people that are so-called free. Free the ones that need to help. They're prisoners. They're women there that have children they haven't seen. They're women that don't even know where their homes are, and they can't even be released from prison because they don't have an address to go to. So they lock them up and keep them there because they don't know who they can go home to. And these are permanent prisoners who don't need to be locked up. They're weary in their mind. And I saw these women, and I wanted to tell them, look, you could go to a hotel, you could stay there, and that would be your address. But you got people that are standing along the side of the road, just like this brother Ted Williams, who pleaded out and prayed that his vocal cords would hold up so his mother could hear him back in the workforce again, who somebody heard his voice, and they heard the voice of God, and they gave the man a job. We got to see more things happen like that. Where's the humility? Why can't we see more of that happening? Why is it okay for us to have so many people locked away on minor crimes, when we can rehabilitate them and put them back to work? Are we trying to get rid of mankind? Is it too many people on the earth? Well, that is not a good way to get rid of them, by locking them down, to make them into criminals. So when they come back out, they prey on you and I. That is not a way of getting rid of people, making them hard and cold. We can make them loving and put them back in the system.
Yes.
And just as I gave an example, if there's no room here, send them back to Africa.
Yes.
And give them their ticket and their land.
Yes.
And let them start over again. But don't keep them locked away where they rot to nothing. And turn into sissified women. Don't keep them locked away so that they're no longer men coming back home again. Something has got to be done, Pastor.
Yes.
Something has got to be done, missionary. Something has got to be done, deacon.
Yes.
Something has got to be done, evangelist.
Amen.
Don't tell me what good ministry you had in church and how sanctified and everybody got saved last week when you got prisoners who are still locked outside of the will of God.
Yes.
And your prison ministry is broken. I want to tell you it's broken. Everywhere I went, I volunteered to be a part of the prison ministry. They don't know where it is or where it went to. Somebody dissolved it. Somebody prevented the church people from coming in. Why? Break the doors down and tell them you want to do ministry within the prison. Tell them that that's your work ground and tell them that's where you're supposed to be, to vindicate those who can't help themselves. And mandate that you see the women most of all and go in there as often as you can. And I don't care how often you have to go. Keep going, because it's their inalienable rights to hear the word of God. They are not to be locked away from the word of God. Now, ministers, I'm waiting for you to do something. I'm sure I'm going to get a call from you about what it is you're getting ready to do to build up these pro bono departments to help these people in prison who have no representation. No representation. What we need to be crying about is no representation, then why do we have taxation? Why are people being taxed without representation? Something has got to give. We can no longer continue to talk about how free we are and how far we've come. Look how far we come, but yet we're sliding back because as we take two steps, somebody's pulling another person back. Now, we've got to do better than this. We've got to see that these laws have got to be investigated. We've got to see that lawyers can go in and untangle this mess and get these people out of these false crimes so that they can go home and get this thing off their back. They're trying to lock up teachers for no reason, locking them up, giving them records. How dare they falsify things in the school system to lock up teachers who given their life to work with these children? You've got some bitter people out here, and they're using their power in the wrong way. In a minute, we're going to call on the ancestors. And those who are falsely using their power and doing things they don't have any business doing, the ancestors is going to chase them.
Amen.
And all we're going to have to say is, ancestors, have mercy. Have mercy, ancestors, because the ancestors are sick of it. They're tired of seeing it. It's getting to be putrefied. These people in their own waste, putrefied, dying in their own waste. Sleeping at night, watching over their shoulder, not being able to go to bed peacefully, living in environments that are not acceptable. So we say we're missionaries. That's a lie. We're not missionaries. If we're missionaries, we do the work of missionaries. We go not only into the highways and byways, but into the prisons too. We got to get ourselves together, people. We cannot falsify these ministries that we have and say that we're a great church and we're doing the work of God. We're out in the ministry doing the work of God in the highways and byways. Pass out a tract to somebody who want to hear about God. pass out a tract in the prison for somebody to hold on to hope, not somebody who got a church on. Go into the prisons and don't be afraid. And go into the prisons with the will of God and go in there with the flight of God as if you're going to really accomplish something with these souls. Because they're at their weakest hour, and now is the time to reach them.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you understand one thing. Excuse me. Pastor, I don't care what you say. I hope you understand one thing. The woman is a God. And if you give her a chance, she's going to give you the plan and the message. All you need to do is be good followers and let her lead the way. She's always saved the day in the church. Why don't we just come to the realization that somebody lied in the Bible, falsified information, and that the woman is out of place. And if you let her back into her place where she belongs, she could turn this whole system around.
Amen.
She can turn this whole church around and this community and turn things around with the family. But quit playing those games that they gave you about the Bible saying that the woman has a place. The woman's place is at the beginning and the head because she was there with God when she breathed life into you and made you a human being.
Amen.
She was the one that God talked to and said, let us make man in our own image. You are made in the image of a woman. Every fetus that is brought here is first the fetus of a female, and then they matriculate into the gender of a male. I don't know where you got your science from, but if you look at all the documentation, you will see that nothing is done out of duality. Everything is done in duality. And at one time, women ruled, and they ruled in duality with the male. So when you look at the woman, you have seen God. And if you really knew the truth, you would understand nothing can be created unless they have a womb. A man cannot create a baby. A woman is creating here, and the creator is the one that gives life. We are the life givers.
Yes.
And once you realize that, you begin to hear what we have to say, and as we prophesy, take what we're saying seriously and do what we're telling you.
Amen.
Because we are creators and we are gods.
Amen.
Whether you like it or not, boastful or not, it doesn't matter. We're going to stay in the same shape we're in until you accept the truth. The truth is women have been overshadowed for a long time. They've known that they were God all along. And this immaculate conception that you're talking about, she created it. She created a phallus even on her man that wasn't there. She got an erection when there was no phallus there, and therein lies the immaculate conception because there was no phallus there to create a penetration. So her power is like power being in the hands of Jesus. She created from nothingness, and she created an erection from a phallus that wasn't there. The immaculate conception is the only way that there was immaculate conception is that the black woman created the immaculate conception. And if she could do that, and if she could recreate, what in the world do you think she is? She's a god, because she recreated from nothingness. Now take that and run with it, because this foolishness about the immaculate conception and about the spirit coming in to create something where he did not exist is falsehood. And about the fact that Mary just impregnated herself, that's falsehood. All of that. And the story was a borrowed story from Isis.
Amen.
And it was borrowed from Heru. This story that you are telling, you need to find it on the walls in Egypt.
Yes.
And we need to get truths told, ladies and gentlemen. There's too many lies that's been told.
Amen.
And one of the lies is being told that the woman is inferior. No, we're not inferior. And yes, we are leaders. And yes, we create from our being, and yes, we did create the universe, and yes, we are God.
Amen.
And that's all I want to say on that, ladies and gentlemen. And I'd like for you to come back and join me tomorrow as we continue on this journey to find our freedom and to find how we can eradicate the laws, the black laws that have prevailed against black men, that has imprisoned black men falsely, and we're looking for some help, and we're going to obtain that help. Because we're not going to wake up no more with our mind, rushing to and fro,
yes,
worried about young people,
yes,
who are out there, a victim waiting for false laws to infiltrate them and to penalize them in courtroom. We are not going to wait anymore, and we're going to prepare ourselves. And the churches that are wasting their time preaching all of these sweet messages, dry bones, all of these messages that we don't even need or have heard 1,000 times, we've got to become more radical and make change. That's the only reason the church is needed. It's for a radical movement. And if you're not about a radical movement, like Jesus said, if you don't have a sword, sell your coat, because it's throwdown time. It's time to make a difference. Get radical churches or get out of the way. Because these young people are not looking for no milquetoast Jesus. They're looking for a radical mover who can step up and flat-footedly say what is wrong and make the changes. It's time to make that change. It's time, preacher. It's time, evangelist. It's time, deacon. Make that change. And on that note, I say to you, have a good evening, and I'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. And I say, oh, double and baba boy to you, y'all. Good night.